My guest at this time is John Bolton, former United States Ambassador to the United Nations. He's now with the American Enterprise Institute. He joins us today from New York as we await the United Nations Nuclear Watchdog Group, the International Atomic Energy Agency, report on the current state of the Iranian nuclear program. Many people are expecting significant evidence that Iran is, in fact, constructing a nuclear weapons program, contrary to that nation's insistence that it's not. But we'll find out more details in just a little bit of time. And Mr. Ambassador, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
What would be the telltale signs that Iran's contention that this is only for peaceful means would be absolutely shredded, if it's not already shredded?
Well, this report will detail additional aspects of the Iranian program that only make sense if it's a weapons-related program. For example, as has been reported by a number of sources, the Iranians have used sophisticated mathematical computer modeling techniques to understand what a nuclear explosion is like. And they do that for purposes of designing the warhead, understanding how it will act, and potentially for testing. That's just one of many things that this report is going to say. Now, what's important to understand here is the IAEA didn't just find all this information out in the 3 months since its last report. This is information essentially provided to the UN by the United States and Israel and others. In other words, the IAEA is not an intelligence agency itself, but it has looked at this information and believe it has sufficient evidence to support it, sufficient credibility, that they are now putting it out. And that is the significance, is that it shows once again, if anybody needed any further proof, as you say, that what Iran is up to can only be explained by a weapons objective.
In terms of where the program would stand, if in fact the report contains evidence of these simulated nuclear explosions, where would that tell us that they are in their process of actually having a deployable nuclear weapon?
Well, when you put this together with all of the other information that's been out there, whether published by the IAEA or from other sources, the answer is they're getting very, very close, at least to having the nuclear device, maybe not yet able to put it on a ballistic missile. But, you know, the threat of Iran or any other proliferator having a nuclear device is they can put it in a boxcar, put it on a ship, and sail it into any harbor in the world, or dismantle it and bring it into any city through terrorists or other mechanisms like that. And I think what's also significant about this report is that it shows that work on weaponization has continued right along. You know, in 2007, our intelligence community in this country issued a famous National Intelligence Estimate, or NIE, which essentially said Iran had given up its weapons program. Many people at the time, myself included, thought that it was just ludicrous and a very highly politicized an example of people in the intelligence community pursuing their own political agenda. And I think now, again, with this report and many other sources, that NIE has been completely discredited. The Iranians have not deviated at all from their long-standing, 20-year-long, in fact, quest for nuclear weapons.
So given where we think that they stand right now in terms of progress on their nuclear program, are you surprised in any way that we heard the reports in recent weeks of Israel talking very seriously and planning very seriously about a preemptive strike?
Not at all. I think the Israelis have been working on this for quite some time. I mean, I think the United States has the possibility to do it. I just don't think it's going to happen under this administration, and that's why the spotlight is now on Israel, because the IAEA report simply underscores what I think has already been clear, namely that there are only two possible outcomes. Outcome number one is Iran gets nuclear weapons, and very soon. I think that's probably the most likely result at this point, unfortunately. But outcome number two is that somebody strikes preemptively against key aspects of the Iranian nuclear weapons program and brings it to a halt. And as I mentioned, since I don't expect that the Obama administration is going to do that, the question is, will Israel act? And I think the answer is consistent with what they've done in years past. I'd be surprised if they didn't act, and I think sooner rather than later.
Sir, when you were serving in the Bush administration, you mentioned the National Intelligence Estimate, but even before that, there was a lot of talk from the president on down about different options being on the table, and consistently they said the military option was on the table, although no one seemed very eager to go in that direction. But a lot of the concern about the military option was that Iran had learned from Iraq being attacked by Israel back in the early 80s and other incidences. So they spread out their facilities. There wasn't one major hub. A lot of it's underground. So there was a lot of question and concern over whether a preemptive strike would actually have the intended effect. Israeli experts seem to think otherwise. But what have you learned from your expertise and the people you've talked to?
Well, I think Israel can destroy certain key aspects of Iran's program, choke points that have to be functioning for Iran to get to nuclear weapons. And if they do that, I think they can set the program back a very considerable period of time, 3 years, perhaps longer, which is an infinity as far as these things go. Now, the fact is that the military option window is closing and has been for some time. That's why, honestly, I felt Israel should have struck several years ago, because there's no doubt that Iran is trying to disperse, hide, and harden its nuclear-related sites. But the two that we know now, at Esfahan and Natanz, the key ones that are there are well-known. They're vulnerable to an Israeli attack. Honestly, the United States would do a lot better, and it's one reason I think we should help the Israelis. But the longer time goes by without the preemptive use of military force, unfortunately, the greater the likelihood is the Iranians can emerge, even if their program is damaged, they can still emerge with a program that would be a real threat.
Two quick questions before we let you go. How much do you think, if there are plans or were plans in the works, that these turncoat spies, as Prime Minister Netanyahu calls them, outing this plan has set those back?
Well, I think if there is going to be an Israeli attack, it's not going to happen anytime soon. The Iranians have strategic warning. They know the military option is on the table. The issue is whether Israel or the United States can achieve tactical surprise. That isn't going to happen for the next couple weeks. I don't imagine the attack anytime soon. I think it'll come at a time when people's attention is elsewhere.
And last question, and this was just breaking today from a number of sources, and this is the exchange that you probably are aware of between President Obama and French President Sarkozy at the G20 summit. They thought their microphones were off. As a veteran of the diplomatic world, I'm sure you're very keen to those situations. And basically, Sarkozy called Netanyahu a liar. The president of our country responded by saying, "You're fed up with him, but I have to deal with him every day." Is that just an embarrassing moment, or is that a telling exchange right there, in your opinion?
Well, watch those open microphones, that's for sure. I think it reveals what the two men actually think. I don't think it's any surprise to Prime Minister Netanyahu that that's what they think, but it can't make dealing, particularly at a very sensitive time, any easier when people hear that in plain sound.
Mr. Ambassador, always plenty to talk about. Thanks for your time again today.
Well, thanks again for having me.
Former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. He's now with the American Enterprise Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.